Again, hell no, we tired of taking crumbs from the master's table. Workers all across this country are certainly sending a hell of a message to the powers that be that we are mad as hell and we are not going to take it anymore. And just thinking about the September job report, it offers for sure new evidence that contradicts all of them naysayers about the workers, especially them daggone Republicans. And not to make this partisan, but I'm going to make it partisan just for a little while because they were the main ones talking that nonsense, who have, you know, again, said that the generosity, I put that in air quotes, of the unemployment benefits is what was keeping people away, instead of understanding that people were waking up to their own value and their own worth, and they just decided that this is not the path that they are going to continue to go on. And, you know, millions of people have already lost that aid, as we know. The Congress limited that aid. They failed to the pressures of big corporations and corporatist types from both parties, and people are not getting that aid. It was significantly scaled back, and people still did not immediately return to work. And you still have those people who were continuously working, especially those who are unionized, standing up saying, we're not going to continue to do this. We do know that as much as people want to pretend like the Rona is over, it is not over. It is far from over. And even if it were, which it is not, the residual impact of a global pandemic is going to be felt for a very long time. But I repeat, let Sister S&T repeat, underscore, underline, bold, exclamation point. The COVID is not over. The Rona is not over. It is far from that. And yes, it continues to be a major factor in people's hesitancy to either go back to work or also their hesitancy to continue on a course that does not give them a deeper quality of life. And low wage workers, you know, them folks that we called essential. I'm old enough to remember when they were called essential. And one breath, they call it essential. And then the other breath, as they are standing up for their rights, you got some folks telling them to shut up and basically keep dribbling. They saying, no, we're not going to do it. We are going to stand up for our rights. And I'm really glad that people are waking up to their worth and what they deserve. And poor people, working poor people do deserve to have a high quality life. Even if they not putting six figures in the bank, they do deserve to live a good life. And that means getting rest. That means being able to travel every now and then. They ain't asking for it all. They just asking for a little bit. And it's based on the work that they are putting it in. And they are really, really putting it in. This great recession, there's still going to be a whole lot to be learned in many years to come. Social scientists will continue to talk about how the great recession played a part on what is happening right now. But I, sir and ma'am, and everybody else, am here for it. Glad to see workers waking up to their own value. And speaking of their value, as we continue to watch in that Congress, woo, Lord Jesus, y'all know when I start calling on Jesus, people who want elected folks who are asking for a part of a package, the part that really is going to percolate through communities all across this country, we got to wait on that. You know, part of the reconciliation bill will have a lot in it about, you know, child care, the tax credit, the child tax credits, et cetera. And it's stalled right now. They want people to wait. And we really are. And I will continue to remind you, to remind us, because everybody needs to be reminded, that we are the only country on the face of God's green earth, industrialized nation, that does not provide not only some type of universal health care, but also making sure that childcare is safe and affordable. You know, they want to talk about a worker shortage. Well, how will people be able to go back to work and to go back to work in peace if they are parents or caregivers, not knowing whether or not their babies are being taken care of? How do we ask childcare workers to work for peanuts? We give childcare workers peanuts, teachers damn near peanuts. These folks are taking care of and caring for and educating our greatest resources, yet we don't want to pay them what they deserve and what they are worth. It is beyond immoral in a nation of this kind of wealth. And so when we think about women who are primarily the caregivers, not exclusively, but primarily the caregivers, them having to go back to work and the impact of the cost of childcare on them is a really big deal. And that is why the portion of the reconciliation bill that has the care economy portion is so vitally important, and it cannot wait. It does absolutely boggle my damn mind how people who have the most can sit up there and delay on the very parts of a package that should have been passed at the same time. And that is not to say that there are not some good things in that infrastructure bill. There are. But there are also some things that make you scratch your head in that infrastructure bill. But by and large, the infrastructure bill is not going to touch the main streets, our communities, in the way that the reconciliation portion, the care portion, the social safety net and climate portion of the reconciliation bill is going to do. And we must continue to push for that.